Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number three, Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, and Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. Coming to you once again from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're wrapping up Penn State's 28-7 win over Michigan State. They improved to 8-0. They moved to number 5 in the AP and the coaches' polls. They're right where they want to be, right where they need to be to make everything they want to make happen to do it this season. Key four games still coming up. Tough three games in the rear view. And one of the things that James Franklin, by the way, we're just going to hear from James Franklin and kind of break down what he had to say after this game. We'll hear a quote. We'll talk about that. And one of the things that he mentioned was this three game stretch that they just got through and the desire to take it one game at a time, but also to understand that everybody was pointing to this three game stretch. They came out of it 3-0. They're 8-0 overall. Here's what he had to say about this stretch, Iowa, Michigan, and Michigan State.
Yeah, we're aware of it as coaches and as players. We're definitely aware of it. But we didn't address it, with the team. We did talk, briefly about some of those things. But as you guys know, I'm a process-oriented guy. So, we don't talk about rankings. We don't talk about, whatever the challenges may be that you address. And all those things are real. I'm not saying they're not real. We made some modifications to practice because we had three really challenging games in a row. You talk about a game against Iowa at night on the road that's been what you call a horror story for a lot of people in their stadium, at Kinnick Stadium. And then the next week, whiteout against one of the most talented rosters in the country at our place. Tough, physical, emotional game. And then have to come back and do it again against this group. As much as I want everybody to take it one game at a time, every single one of our 700,000 alumni, every single one of you guys looked at this three-game stretch, on our schedule, and we knew this was going to be a challenge. So for us to be able to get through it, and get into this bye week is really important. So it's going to be important how we handle this bye week, that we take a step, that we clean some of these things up. But I'm proud of the guys. I'm proud of how we handled it. All those things, we didn't address them. We made some modifications in how we practice and things like that because we had an awareness of it. But we're fortunate to be able to come in here and get a win against a really good program, a really good team, and the winningest coach in their program's history.
So James Franklin kind of laid it out, all the things you would want to discuss about this particular issue. But the thing that struck me about this was the tightrope you have to walk as a coach of maintaining that 1-0 mindset, but at the same time accepting A, what the outside noise is saying, B, the reality that this three-game stretch was just a little bit different than any other three-game stretch on the schedule. So he talked about making adjustments and that kind of thing, talked about acknowledging without over-acknowledging it. And I just think, as a football coach, this is a challenging tone you're trying to set, where you're not trying to ignore, the narratives that are out there, but you're trying to maintain. None of those narratives matter if you don't focus on this week and only this week. I thought this was a revealing quote just to get into the inner workings of James Franklin's mind.
It's that whole emotion thing, right? I think he tends, when he's fired up, and he was fired up, we didn't talk about it yet, but those personal foul penalties, the Antonio Shelton ejection, those didn't sit well with him. Sean Clifford's...
Nor should they.
Right. Sean Clifford's interception did not sit well with him. And I think he was as emotional, not just because of the three-game stretch that they just went through and conquered, but also because he saw some things that... if they're going to continue the success that they've had so far, they can't allow those things to happen again. So I think that had as much to do with it as anything. Just the fact that, going into a bye week like this, I think it leaves a little bit of a sour taste in his mouth, quite frankly, which is hard to do when you're 8-0. Yeah. But at the same time, I just think that when it comes down to it, some of the sloppy things, another hold that cancels out a kick return, or this time a punt return touchdown. I think he was as emotional about those things as anything. But my point of bringing all that up is when he's emotional, he tends to be his most revealing. And like you said, Dustin, this was one of those times.
I'm going to go back to what I said at the very beginning of the first segment. He is locked in on taking this program to the next level. And so the things that he's talking about cleaning up and the things that he's talking about doing are exactly what you're touching on, Greg. And when he notices something that happens, if the team starts to get too impressed with themselves, right? I mean, he knows what's ahead. He knows what this three-week stretch was about. He knows they weren't able to conquer these three-week stretches in years past. So how do you conquer those things? They were able to do it. He's keenly aware, and it's know your audience, right? If he's talking to his team, he's talking to 18 to 22, 23-year-olds. If he's talking to the fan base and alumni, he's talking to people that look at the full schedule, right? So he's trying to get the message across to his players, want to know, don't worry about it. Concentrate on the game plan at hand and the opponent that's coming up straight in front of you. And if he's talking to the fan base and he's talking to everybody else, he's saying, look, I know you didn't think we would go 3-0. We went 3-0. So what do you think of that? Right. And so, yeah. Be excited about it, but understanding that the goal is not to be 8-0. The goal is to get to the national semifinals, to win the Big Ten. There are bigger things at hand. And so those are the things that you need to clean up. I'd love to see KJ Hamler get a return that doesn't have a little yellow flag on the ground, right? I mean, he's run a kickoff back and a punt return back. That would be quite a game breaker against Ohio State in Columbus if they could make that happen. So he understands some of the things that have worked, have been able to beat Michigan State or to win a game at Iowa on the road, which are impressive things at their own. But that might not get it done at Columbus. And this season is going to come down to what happens at Columbus, even if they lose at Minnesota, most likely. Because you take care of Indiana, you take care of Rutgers, obviously, at the end of the year. You have a little bit of room, breathing room. It all comes down to Columbus on the 23rd of November.
And I don't think anybody would have it any other way at this point. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're hearing from James Franklin following a 28-7 win for Penn State over Michigan State. You guys mentioned some of the things that need to be cleaned up, and having two games in a row where KJ Hamler touchdown return gets called back for penalties that probably didn't impact the flow of that return anyway. That had James Franklin, among the other things that Greg mentioned, a little bothered. Here's what he had to say about penalties.
I'm not happy at all with any of those things. We just had a very direct conversation in the locker room about those things. It was an emotional game. I'm not going to get into the details with you guys during the whole game. You know, I'm not going to make excuses. We're going to own it all. That's not who we are, and that's not who we will be. And it was addressed today, and it will be addressed on Sunday after we watch the tape and our team meeting. Because the worst thing you can do, and I've made this mistake earlier in my career, is you go in the locker room and you're upset after a tough win or after a tough loss, and you don't handle things well. And, it was addressed, very clear, very direct, and we'll do it again on Sunday. But that's not who we are. And I think the people that have covered us for 6 years, I can be criticized for a lot of things. I don't think that's one. We played a disciplined style of football around here. I take a lot of pride in the 700,000 fans that fans and alumni we represent.
He really never stops. He never stops stumping, does he? Even in this situation where he's describing some emotion, describing some some words he had with his team right after a win, mind you, a 28-7 win, that was a big one for his program. You know, this was a real big point of emphasis, and I think probably fans are pretty happy to hear that he was down on these things. But
yeah, I always wonder what leads to him using the things. So today it was Saturday it was 700,000. 7,000 alumni. Sometimes it's 107,000. Like, I just wonder if someone says this something to him before his news conference and it just sticks in his head. Because
he's got some talking points.
Yeah, he said that more than once during his time out there. But no, the funny thing in a way is that the question was, it was very simple. Did you get an explanation for why Antonio Shelton was ejected? That was the question that led to the answer we just heard. And
again, it didn't matter what the question
right,
was.
Yes,
this was what the answer was going to
exactly
be.
Right, exactly right. Exactly right. It could have been a question about just about anything. And he could have said, but again, when he's emotional and when he feels a certain way about something, he is going to get it out there no matter what. What? How he has to answer a question. He could have, in some cases, he could have just said no. And this would go back to the Iowa game where he was asked about the explanation for the Pat Freiermuth overturn. And he said, you know, no, I'm not going down that road. And he kind of went down this road, not taking any shots at the officials, but taking a stance that he does not want his team to do some of these things. So I thought that was kind of an important realization. And we saw Antonio Shelton come out and apologize on Twitter. And, you know, these things didn't cost Penn State a game, and they haven't cost them a game yet, but you're always one bad day on offense or bad day on defense away from these flags and these things that take points off the board really coming back to bite you.
You know, Dustin, you mentioned the stumping part of it. And look, Coach Franklin he knows the PR part of it. He knows the public image of the Nittany Lions. He is fresh off an emotional response to the Jonathan Sutherland situation, right? And it doesn't matter the way they look. It's the way they behave. It's the kind of men that they are. It's that type of deal. And yet here comes Antonio Shelton to do something like that. And basically, and then Jaquan Brisker, you saw how quickly he got in Jaquan Brisker's face when he had the, you know, taunting penalty or whatever they called after the interception on the field. And he covered his mouth because he knows the cameras are looking to see what, you know,
yeah, that's when you know he's using HBO language.
That's correct. You betcha. So he, you know, it's they're trying to read his lips, what he's saying. So he's covering his mouth as he undresses Jaquan Brisker and he handles it right away. So the Penn State fan base likes the fact that he's handling those things, right? They want him to handle those things. And likes the fact that he defends his players, even if they don't like some of the physical, you know, appearances and some of the old school stuff that they don't, you know what I mean, that they may right. look at. I don't know how they feel about it. All they want to know is that the coach is handling those types of things. So physically, if you're going to look the way you want to look, great. That's, I don't have a problem with that. It's no problem with that. It's the behavior part of it that he understands steps over the line and that he's going to take care of it right away.
And I think, you know, to your points, just a high standard for conduct that he's trying to establish and maintain. I think he's right that, you know, he can take criticism for a lot of things, but Penn State has been a well-behaved, carried themselves well on the field, whether they had dreadlocks or not, they carried themselves well on the field. But it's also a high standard for play where, you know, these yards on at the, you know, after turnovers, we've had what, two, three of these situations where you get 15 yards back at the end of a turnover. And it's kind of hidden yardage because you got the turnover, now your offense is on the field. You know, the impact of it is minimized, but there are going to be games where the impact of that is not going to be minimized. There are going to be games where you have a stupid hold on a kick return where you're not even a factor. That's going to have a chance to cost you games. It's about that high standard now, even though you're handling this Michigan State team, because you want to establish that standard to beat Minnesota on the road or to beat Ohio State on the road. So James Franklin harped on that. He also harped on the play of Sean Clifford just a bit. Some positives, some not so positives. We'll touch on that in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.